That's a voice of Aretha Franklin, and the song is Young, Gifted, and Black. And it was written, I believe, by Nina Simone and another individual whose name I want to make sure we say, Weldon Irvin. We're joined now, I think, by Norman Otis Richmond, also known as the bluesologist. Are you there, Norman?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. The major figure, Aretha Franklin. We lost her. What have you been thinking about about her career, and how? Where does your mind go to when you think about Aretha?
Oh, I hope I'm not the first to state this, but I read a lot of things about how many records she sold and how great her voice was, which all those are true. But I basically wanted to let everybody know that Aretha Franklin was part of the black radical tradition, and that while it is true that she supported the Democratic Party and in the tradition of her father, C.L. Franklin, C.L. Franklin was a big supporter of Martin Luther King, and then, Jesse Jackson, I think he delivered the eulogy at Reverend C.L. Franklin's funeral. But C.L. Franklin organized a march called the Walk to Freedom, which took place on Woodward Boulevard.
The most famous street, Detroit.
In 1963. That was before the March on Washington. But Aretha Franklin, I haven't heard anybody, I hope I'm wrong, but when Angela Davis was arrested in 1970, Aretha Franklin offered to pay her bill, which was, Aretha had made the statement that if it's $100,000 or $250,000, that she would pay her bill. And I think when they tried to get a hold of Aretha, this is before cell phones and all of this stuff, she may have been on the beach in Jamaica, and that's the only reason she wasn't able to do that, because it had nothing to do with not wanting to support.
No, but she was there. She was the bank if they're going to need one, right?
Exactly.
And that took guts. You know, this is the federal government. This
we're talking about 1970.
And those were heavy charges. That wasn't small stuff. This was
no. And Angela was supposed to be a communist supporting Moscow. I mean, you know what I mean. It's like she wasn't an astrologist, or
right. there were others. I mean, you mentioned her father. So is the father he set the sort of this leadership? Where did he fit in Detroit? Do you know much his story and how his daughter came to be? I assume she was part of that march, by the way, or at least supported.
Oh, her. Yeah, but the point, no, C.L. Franklin came out of Sunflower, Mississippi, Sunflower County, Mississippi, which is the same place that produced Fannie Lou Hamer.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And they moved to Buffalo. He lived in Buffalo, Memphis, and then Aretha was born in Memphis. Eventually, they ended up in Detroit. He had a church, the New Bethel Baptist Church, which at one point there was a shootout between the Republic of New Africa. I shouldn't say a shootout. I guess it was I think the Republic of New Africa people did.
A militant misunderstanding.
Yeah, no, yeah, but I think that they were, it's America, so you can defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And that was held at her father's church, I believe. But he was a singer, just like she was a singer, and he sold millions of records. He had a sermon called "The Eagle Stirreth Her Nest," and it sold tons and tons of records. I used to listen to it. All of my relatives in the South had it, and I eventually purchased a copy of it.
C.L. Franklin? Is that how you...
C.L. Franklin, that was his name. Yeah, and he was he was murdered.
Millions. This is a minister. He sold millions as a singer.
As a gospel singer. Yeah, yeah. Used to buy, at one point, if you used to take the bus like I did, you could at the Greyhound bus stations, you could always buy a real C.L. Franklin sermon, and he would sing, and then up, and then he would preach. Uh-huh. And most of his sermons were based around human rights. Mm-hmm. I mean, he talked about, you know, salvation and all of that, but he was a civil rights man. So he would sing, and he had a Bobby Blue Bland was influenced by C.L. Franklin in terms of the singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And well, so I got to, you know, you're a man who's been around and seen a lot of things. You attended performances. You saw, meet Aretha Franklin.
Let me put it this way: I met Aretha Franklin.
Put it any way you like.
Yeah, I saw Aretha Franklin 5, 6, 7, 8 times, but I met her once or twice. But you know, you couldn't really get to Aretha because she had such an entourage. It was like meeting the queen, she was the queen of.
She had an entourage.
Yeah, she had an entourage, and the entourage were from Detroit, and Detroit's kind of a rough place, so, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Well, how about her loyalty to Detroit? She never left there, right?
Yeah. I think she left there briefly. I think she lived in Los Angeles for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she came back to Detroit, and she refused to live there. But her musical director, H.B. Barnum, was my next door neighbor. So that was my contact to Aretha. Every time she came, H.B. Barnum would call me, and he would, you know, invite me to the rehearsals and the the backstage of this and that. So I had access to her.
Are you telling me you saw her rehearse?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would pay good money. Actually, I think I'd pay more money to watch her rehearse. I'd love to watch that. What was that like? How does she treat people? How was, you know, what were the people around her?
First
talent?
Of all, there was nobody there except me. And she had her band, and she was very, let me say, she was a perfectionist, and she was a no-nonsense human being.
Mm-hmm.
it was a no-nonsense human being. So she was a very, very serious, and you had to get it right, or you know, mm-hmm. I think at that time, one of the times I saw her, she was getting ready to fire the whole band because,
You could have been in line for a job. I mean, she clears everybody out and she says, "Who are you? Get a drum." Was it that bad? I mean, she was unhappy with the band?
I'm not saying she's a prima donna, but she was a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ray Charles, me. Ray Charles was a perfectionist.
Oh my God! Yeah. A lot of geniuses. Ray Charles was despite his politics, the man was a genius. And Johnny Taylor, I think, was the same way. There was a lot of people like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of people like that. But I found a quote from George Clinton, who used to live in Toronto. Mm-hmm. George Clinton was Dr. Funkenstein. They were saying he was with this group called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think that was a white mm-hmm. funk band that was with them. And he was saying that they were in Detroit and going to see Aretha perform. And they said, "We were just clowning around, getting high." Mm-hmm. And he uses the S word. And he said, "Aretha Franklin's sister, Carolyn, before the show, she said, I'm not sitting with you, Carolyn said, because I know you're going to act like a fool, and Aretha's going to come down here and kick somebody's ass, and I don't want to be in the line of fire." That was, she said, you guys are going to be acting a fool, and
don't do that around her. Actually, she had a gaze that, you know, you could catch that in her performances. And when she looked around, you definitely did. You want to say, "I hope she's in. You know, this is entertainment because I don't want her to look at me like that."
Well, you know, she was.
This is Otis Richmond, by the way. Go ahead.
She was at one time. She was really influenced by Sam Cooke, and she talked about how first of all, she was very, very, very bright, but mm-hmm. she was basically saying that she tried to be like Sam Cooke, and she wrote, I think there was a book called The Third Reich or The Fourth Reich about Adolf Hitler, and she said she bought the book because Sam Cooke had read it, and she bought it, but she never read it. But she was. I guess she left school when she was very, very, very young. But if you listen to her speak and listen to the lyrics of the song she wrote, she was very articulate. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, she's a minister's daughter, and he was a very bright and able individual.
Yes,
there's
he
another
was.
Wonderful. People have to remember Mahalia Jackson and she were in the same church. They sang together. Is that right?
Oh, they. I don't know if they were in the same church because they was Mahalia's from Chicago and Aretha was from Detroit, but they were definitely.
But there were moments that they were. If
they were
said,
together.
Yeah,
oh
they
no,
were
no,
together.
They were together. But let me tell you this: that Aretha Franklin's house, everyone came to Aretha Franklin's house, including Oscar Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
There's stories about Oscar Peterson coming and she, Mavis Staples, Oscar Peterson, Mahalia Jackson, anybody you could name that was anybody R&B or gospel mm-hmm. came by Reverend Franklin's house because he was not a reverend and a preacher, but he was not hostile towards secular music at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, by the way, that is a departure. That was the one place Mahalia was different. Mahalia would, Mahalia would not do Vegas. She would not do Hollywood. She would sing occasionally on a TV show, but she was really careful. You're not going to be any alcohol around or any and she wasn't going to do the kind of songs that might have made her a ton of dough. Everybody always kept saying, oh, come on, take the money. But she didn't do it.
No, she never did.
Yeah.
And, I guess.
And she also was a supporter partner of the King, also part of the Civil Rights Movement.
Oh, no. She was the, what would they call it? She was his lieutenant, musical lieutenant was Mahalia Jackson. There was one difference between Mahalia and Aretha was Aretha never flew. Yeah, she had a problem with flying. Whereas Mahalia went to India, she went to Africa, she went to Mahalia went all over the planet Earth. Whereas I think Aretha may have went to England once. She might have flew. I believe. I don't know. And she went to the Caribbean a lot. You know, she's like that album she did called "Amazing Grace." That album. The cover of that album was shot in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if she flew to the Caribbean or she took a...
Probably took a cruise ship.
Thing about her was she used to come to Toronto. Well, I saw an article. I didn't read it, but it was in one of the newspapers here. I won't even publish their name. I give them the name because they have a reputation mm-hmm. of very backward, but they said she had one time she considered a living in Toronto. I didn't read the article, mm-hmm. but she used to take her bus and the tour bus, and they would come to Toronto by bus. Yeah,
yeah. By the way, there are a number of artists that's little known about them that they don't. I think Merle Haggard was one of the guys who didn't fly, and he didn't talk about why. But I suspect there are a lot of people who have this problem. A lot of athletes, their careers have been damaged a bit because they're nervous about that. This is Otis Richmond. We're of course talking about the great Aretha Franklin, and Otis, you recommended to us that song.
Don't Get It in Black, right?
Yeah, tell me a bit about that song.
Well, I was influenced by the late, great Lorraine Hansberry. She did a play called To Be Young, Gifted and Black. And, she was friends with Nina Simone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read Nina Simone's book, she talked about how her and it was Mahalia Jackson, not Mahalia, but it was Lorraine Hansberry, Kwame Ture, Godfrey Cambridge, and a group of people, she said that they used to sit around and they, to quote Nina Simone directly, she said they used to talk about little girls' things like Marxism and and, you know, and talking about Lenin and stuff like that. And she was very sick. She said they never talked about men. They never talked about clothes. She said, yeah, we talked about little things like Marxism, Leninism. And she didn't say Mao Zedong's thought, but.
Well, she probably didn't. She probably rejected that. But
well, Lorraine was in the CP, so yeah. I don't know, because I don't know, because at that time Du Bois was like Chairman Mao, and so did so Robeson never criticized Mao Zedong.
Malcolm X was very enthusiastic. People ought to know these things, that's a long story. But now, so yes, Lorraine Hansberry, and she wrote, she had to play young, gifted, to be, I guess, young, gifted.
To be young, gifted, yes.
So Nina Simone got to work with this gentleman, Weldon Irvin, and a third person, I believe, and they did it. But and so Aretha must decided that she wanted to, once she sings, it's her song, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, Donny Hathaway sang it, too. Donny Hathaway was, oh, my God. Donny Hathaway was Aretha Franklin probably was the greatest female singer that ever lived, and Donny Hathaway would be up there in terms of one of the greatest male singers. But, I used to always see my favorite singer was, female singer was Sarah Vaughan. But I think that looking at the situation, I think that Aretha probably may have been the greatest singer, period, in terms of male or female or any breathing being, because she could do R&B, she could do jazz, she could do opera. I mean, I heard an interview on another radio station where they said that she was doing opera. She had learned opera, but this was while she was sick. The woman that taught her, you know, not taught her, but helped her, you know, do the opera situation. Aretha had called her and wanted her to teach her a song in German, you know. So I mean, she could do blues. She could do, but she had hooked up with Lauryn Hill, the hip hop artist Lauryn Hill. And then A Rose Is Still a Rose. You know, I think she did that in 90.
Yeah.
In the late 90s. But, so I don't think there is anyone like Aretha in terms of the versatility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the impact, you know, there's a word, of course, always has to come in the show business. She had a charisma. It is, when she was singing, it could just the power was palpable. Anybody, anywhere, heard the sound, would stop whatever they were doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, she had that amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That was, I can't explain it. I don't necessarily consider myself a religious man, but I am like Fred Hampton and.
Well, if you listen to her, you are. You see, I believe
in
that.
Like I was getting ready to say, it's like I'm a secular it's an oxymoron I'm a secular person who loves gospel music. Yeah. And I love to listen to preachers. Like I'm a big fan of Reverend C.L. Franklin, "The Eagle Stirreth Her Nest," and you can hear it on YouTube, and C.L. Franklin was he could sing, and he was a great preacher. I understand that Fred Hampton used to go to churches, and he basically was a mixture of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X when it came to speaking, you know.
Well, I'm really glad you bring in that. I think it is always when you have somebody as big as she is, a great. To remember also, like her father, C.L. Franklin, and of course her peer, Mahalia Jackson, who died really quite young. I think she was 49.
Aretha had a couple of sisters, you know, that were great singers, Irma Franklin and Carolyn Franklin, and she had a whole family.
It's time to celebrate the family and the movement.
Right.
Well, on that, Otis, I think we better go. Norman Otis Richmond, the bluesologist. It's been a great education. We thank you very much.
appreciate it. I'm glad you considered me, because at this time,
where are you going to go?
I can't get it. I can't get arrested by the corporate press.
I can fix that. I'll get you arrested by the corporate press.
You're not joking. I'm just going to say you're joking, because I know you probably could.
Well, I'm trying to get myself arrested. Come on, you have to get in line.
I don't think you don't want to do that, right? You don't want to get me arrested because you don't want to work for the state.
Yeah, no, exactly. You got it. Well, both of us are on the side of Boots Riley and what's the name of that movie of his? Sorry to bother you.
Right.
Yeah, we're in that school. Okay, Norman. Yeah. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Okay. Take care. Yep. Bye bye.
Norman Lewis Richmond.